If your idea of a good time is a juicy steak, a hamburger, a sausage, a hot dog, whatever, or even a plate of seafood, you'd better stay tuned because we have another view for you. We're speaking again with Guido von Arx, Gorelila Dasa, at his home in Zurich, Switzerland. Gorelila, there is no question about it that the teachings of Hinduism, Buddhism, which is so closely related, and so many millions upon millions of people in this world today, is that we should not eat meat. We should live a vegetarian way of life. Why is that so important? What's wrong with eating meat?
When you're aware of consequences of activities you perform, then you should not be blind and close your eyes of those consequences. So if you consider yourself civilized and intelligent, you should know not only the consequences, but what was happening before. When you have your plate of meat, as a sensitive, intelligent human being, you should be aware what it had to happen. It's just not like a piece of bread which has been cut off from the loaf, but there was a sensitive animal which enjoyed life, unless it was in a very suffering condition, wanted to live, had happiness, was living maybe with relatives and friends and family, and has been artificially and cruelly killed just in order we can satisfy our tongue, which is not necessary. So vegetarian actually means a civilized human being who's not acting like a jungle animal because he's aware he doesn't want to cause suffering to others, neither in a gross nor in a subtle way.
But we're told by so many people that we're meant to eat meat. We have the teeth for it, we can digest it. So why is it wrong from the physical point of view? So many people are convinced that we need meat to live.
I think there's no question of need. That we can live with meat, of course, has been proven, especially in Western countries since thousands of years. People have been eating meat. They were living maybe a decent life. But I think also from the medical perspective and the physio perspective, there are more and more evidences that one can live not only as good as with meat, but even better without meat.
We go back to that term we use so often in our discussions, and that is karma. Is there bad karma involved in eating meat?
I think so, because you caused another living entity to suffer just that you can have some so-called enjoyment of eating a piece of meat to satisfy your tongue. Karma means that you are aware of your activities and you're responsible for your activities, and if you perform an activity, it will have a reaction. And eating meat means someone else had to suffer for that. And that would just be logical, not only by the law of karma, but by the physical law of action and reaction, that some reaction must come to that.
What kind of bad karma do we get as a result? What happens to us by eating meat?
I think this old saying that one is what one eats, it goes a little bit better in German, man ist was man ist, certainly has an influence. Of course, you cannot be a violent person even when you're vegetarian. There may be some other aggressions within your more subtle body which may manifest even though you're a vegetarian. But most people who are vegetarians, at least that's what I like to believe, because of the concern and the sensitivity, they don't want to cause suffering to others. Now, when you do something or eat something which has been causing suffering to others, that means some kind of reaction will come back to you according to the law of karma. In what form? Depends certainly also of your knowledge. Some people who eat meat out of tradition, ignorance, are not aware, that's just what they have been offered on the plate from home, is certainly less a karmic reaction than those people who are aware of the suffering, those who are butchers themselves and see how an animal, what an animal goes through in order to be butchered, so to say, slaughtered. The more you perform an activity of which you are aware of the consequences and how it became to that level, the more reactions you will get. But I'm not in a position, although the Vedas tell of certain reactions, but I not feel comfortable to quote them. This is a detail, but I think if you consider yourself civilized, not uncivilized, be aware with every piece of meat, you cause harm to another living entity, and that's unfair. and not necessary at all.
Let's bring up karma and reincarnation again. I have seen some promotional materials for vegetarianism from spiritually motivated people that imply very, very strongly and carefully. I think of Nina Hagen, for example, the German singer. She even had a pro-vegetarian song. And how did it go? Hey, hey, doctor, reincarnation, would you like to come back as a laboratory rat? Or the butcher, who may, in the worst scenario, actually enjoy his job. Does that mean he's going to come back as a slaughter animal?
I don't know. It's unfortunate, and I hope people become more sensitive and more aware that there is no need. I'm not the only living proof, but there are millions of people, as you indicated before, who live a happy life without causing suffering to the animals by living a healthy and wealthy vegetarian diet. What happens to those who enjoy killing? I'm sure some way or other reaction will come, and probably suffering is the only way they can learn, and hopefully through that suffering they become aware there shouldn't be the cause of any suffering to others, because it will come back to them.
We also have read so much medical findings, medical documentation, that creates a very close link between meat eating and various kinds of very serious illness, be it circulatory illness, the incidence of colon cancer, stomach cancer, and other ailments like rheumatism, arthritis. There are links. So it seems that there, in terms of physical karma, you also have to suffer, because through a lot of meat eating, you can do a lot of damage to the body. This is not us saying this. This has been documented by scientists who say it. But Gauralila, you're talking so far about highly developed sensitive animals. We're talking about cattle. They have highly developed nervous systems. They have a social order. They have children. They have parents and so on, just the way we do. But what if someone says, ah, but the fish aren't like that? You're certainly not talking about fish. They don't think, they don't have emotions, so it must be okay to eat fish. What would you say?
Just watch a fish when it's taken into the net and taken out of the water, how the fish reacts. It fights for its life. It wants to go back to the water, and not only back to the water, but to its natural surrounding, families, etc. Maybe a fish is not as developed as the cattle is. However, the desire for living, the desire to be in a natural surrounding and not be killed, is natural, because there's not one fish who comes voluntarily into the net or onto the hook.
And what about this other, in some people's mind, special category, poultry, chicken, for example? If I say, oh, no, thank you, I'm vegetarian. Oh, but you eat chicken, of course. I say, no. Why do people have the difficulty in realizing that a chicken is an animal?
Some people claim to be vegetarians and also eat chicken. Like some people claim to be vegetarians and also eat fish. I don't know. For them, it's just like what they consider the hot, bleeding animals, the more developed animals. Those who eat them are not vegetarians, and the others who eat like the lower developed or former, smaller forms, they are not eating meat. It's a misunderstanding, both from the physical and also from the emotional aspect. It means killing of a sensitive living being.
Now, we have a group, or various groups, different disciplines of vegetarians. There's the so-called the liberal vegetarians who eat eggs and cheese and milk products. Then, of course, we have the very conservative, some would call almost fanatical vegetarians, the vegans. They don't want anything which had anything to do with an animal. They will not even eat honey because they say it's taking it away from the bees. Now, where do the Vedas stand on the issue of degree, necessary degree of vegetarianism to be a spiritual individual?
Personally, I have very high regards for the vegans, because actually they're truly consequent. In my case, of course, I can find Vedic statements saying that the cow's milk is for human beings and helps to develop the brain tissues of the human beings. But when you look today at how milk is taken, the milk industry is actually not much better than the meat industry. In India, it's different, at least that's what I heard. The calf is given what it requires, and the rest is for the human beings, and there's a more natural surrounding and a more peaceful surrounding, and the calf is with the mother and all these things. But in the West, that's hardly the case. These are just like some are milk machines and some are meat machines that just are giving the seed of a bull in order to develop a calf, and as soon as the calf comes, the calf is taken away from the mother and the milk is milked and all that
stuff. And the calf is often slaughtered.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so generally those who drink milk support directly or indirectly also the meat industry. But I must admit my weakness. I sometimes eat only, you know, like non-milk products with soya and tofu and other elements. You can go quite far. However, I haven't developed yet that strength to be a pure, consequent, you know, vegetarian. But I think in today's Western nation, if someone is able and has the guts, I would say, and the strength and the determination to do it without milk, he can do it. It needs more effort. It's not as easy, but it's possible. And for me, they have the highest regard. We cannot just quote the Vedic times and saying, well, the milk from the cow is meant for us human beings as well, and if we offer it to Lord Krishna, then everything's fine. The cow will have an advantage of that. Then I can also offer meat to Krishna if I like, and say the cow will also have some advantage. Of course, Vedas say Krishna doesn't take meat, but he takes milk. It's a decision one has to make oneself, and also know it has consequences. Maybe one can reduce the karma by taking these industrialized milk products, which are very palatable for our tongue, by offering them to Krishna and make prasad and spiritualized food. However, as I said, we are part of an industry which is not at all sattvic and not at all Vedic.
Can we reduce the karma involved in eating animal materials of this kind, like, as you describe it, even industrially produced milk, by simply being aware that there is something, quote, unholy, unquote, about this, to realize and acknowledge it, and not to eat these products in excess? I'm thinking of grace. Isn't this, in a way, recognizing there is sin, there is karma involved in everything that I put in my mouth, even if it's grain? The grain was alive and had to be killed. But I realize that I need this to survive a healthy life. I just want to let you know I am aware. Does this cure the karma? Does this protect us against bad karma?
When you need it, okay, but you don't need the milk products. And of course, you certainly don't need meat. You can live without milk products. And then, of course, we have to be aware we need organic food, and we should take the food which needs the least violence in order to help us and nourish us. And when we have that awareness and that consciousness, it may reduce, but it certainly won't eliminate the karmic reaction.
This is a difficult problem, because I've been speaking to a number of serious vegetarian physicians, for example, and they are convinced that the vegans running in danger of malnutrition or poor nutrition, because they say that the body cannot synthesize everything. It can synthesize a great deal. But they always say no one will ever be malfed or suffer malnutrition or any problems whatsoever, provided they eat milk products.
No, you cannot generalize. First of all, they're different bodies. Some bodies need something more, some are less, even from the Ayurvedic perspective, the Indian traditional medical wing. And the second thing is always the quantity. And that is the element which you indicated before of grace. We are forgiven, and it's a question of consciousness, how much we take and with which consciousness we take and what's the purpose and the motivation behind it. However, if it's just a question of comfort and maybe certain kind of practical elements, I think there is little excuse there. But one has to be aware, as you said yourself, living in this world is not possible without causing some harm to others. Even when we breathe, we cause harm to certain very small bugs, which we may kill when we walk, all these things. That's unavoidable. So that's also maybe one of the reasons we cannot live without suffering. So we just should be aware and should be ready that certain consequences will come because I'm causing suffering to other living beings.
There's an issue, if we start getting very philosophical, that we can't avoid. You just hinted at it. There are bacteria, there are small organisms that live in the food we eat. It's inevitable. They're there. Now, surely we can't be held responsible for eating those animals. So they are. Those are animals. I mean, how do we deal with this problem of karma?
There are certain groups like the Jains in India. They cover their mouth with a piece of cloth in order to avoid that. As I said, it's not unavoidable that we cause suffering to others, but we should be aware that suffering will also come back to us. We're part of that organism, so to say. We take and we give. All we can do is try seriously our very best, but be aware in this world there are always some karmic reactions because willingly or unwillingly we cause sufferings to others.
But as you said before, perhaps we shouldn't go so far as to say we're entitled to do this, but we have really no choice. Everything involves suffering to something, even if it's a plant. So we must be aware that we should not eat anything that creates unnecessary suffering and limit ourselves to what we really need.
It's not that we have no choice, but we have limited choice. Certain things we can avoid and we should avoid. As I said, eating meat is definitely proven by all perspectives. It's not a requirement in order to remain healthy. And with other things, we have to make a personal decision and know that it will have consequences. But I really want to emphasize that point. When you consider yourself civilized, means you have to act like the civilized, not like uncivilized. Uncivilized means you live like a tiger in the jungle. The stronger kills or eats the weaker. Civilized means the stronger protects the weaker. So if you want to be a tiger, maybe the law of karma and reincarnation will allow you in the next life, then it's certainly fine and fair as a tiger to do that. But as a human being, you can live happily and very healthily without meat and actually live in good consciousness because you tried as much as possible to reduce suffering and take what you require only for your maintenance. And I'm sure not only the Lord, but the universe, the nature, and especially the animals will be happy if you act like that.
What about the special case of eggs?
Eggs is certainly not as violent as when you eat meat because you didn't have to kill a chicken. However, an egg is originally meant to become another chicken. Chicken have been bred in such a way that they give daily an egg, which is something like cool liquid meat. And you know, other living entities, cattle, human beings, female of course, who have eggs and they're meant for something else. So according to the Vedas, it's not as violent, of course, as eating meat, but it's food in the mode of ignorance, which people who are more subtle and more spiritually oriented should avoid because it doesn't give you spiritual, it doesn't further or doesn't help for you to spiritually advance, but it's something which kind of sits in your body and is heavy to digest. I live without eggs as much as possible. Sometimes it's also not so easy when you're out, but I think it's food we don't require.
Keep it to a minimum. Unless you can't avoid contact. And sometimes we literally don't know what we're eating, do we? And that would even go for some animal products that are in there.
That we should avoid.
What about, for example, if you have a medical problem and you need to take a medication and you look at it and the capsules are made of gelatin, which of course is an animal-derived material. What do you do then?
It's again your decision. Of course you can say that in order to save human life, you may also sacrifice a lower life, in that sense an animal life, so to say. However, nowadays it's more and more possible to get these capsules without this gelatin. If it's avoidable, avoid it. If not, pray to God that he blesses that poor animal which had to sacrifice part of his body for that medicament.
There are chains of fast food establishments. I will not give them the title restaurants. We know them. all these fast food chains, and probably the biggest one, makes a big show about having a veggie burger there. You stand in line with the meat-eating people, the hamburgers. These veggie burgers are available. They're made by the same people who are flipping the hamburgers. Would you eat one of those veggie burgers?
No. Of course, one understands the reason they started to do that. It's just to have maybe a variety for their regular customers or attract other customers who are not eating meat. But the consciousness behind it is just purely commercial, and junk food or this fast food is anyway not my style, whether it's vegetarian, non-vegetarian. Now I would say thank you.
There's another aspect again of karma. I've heard it said that the karma of the cook gets into the food that we eat. Is this, forgive the expression, getting a bit esoteric, or is there something in that?
It's not the karma, it's actually the consciousness, so to say. And if you look at it, eating food is a very, very intimate element. The person cooks, touches the food, has a certain consciousness, puts that into the food. Certainly, at least some people are that sensitive to feel that. It also bears the quality in the food itself. And you take that food into your own body. So I think it's just wise to be a little bit aware who cooks, with what consciousness one cooks. And there's some people who claim they would never eat in restaurants because they could really taste and realize the difference when their wife cooks with love, and someone who may not have that love cooks in a restaurant. It's maybe very personal. Someone does it out of duty, or even may not be in a happy mood doing it, and that affects the food itself. So yeah, it's as important, I would say, as the elements one uses is the consciousness one has when one cooks.
Going back to the fast food establishments again, the same person is making hot dogs, hamburgers, whatever it happens to be, puts your veggie burger on there. Isn't bad karma getting into your veggie burger just because of the proximity of what's going on there in the kitchen and the people doing it?
Maybe. As I said, if someone is a little sensitive, and one considers generally health to be the most important gift and value and wealth one has, one shouldn't take food from there. I mean, people are a little bit conscious about their good health and being very important to maintain it or develop it, would never eat in such fast food restaurants, whether it's vegetarian or non-vegetarian, because you just know it's cheap, it's fast, the consciousness is low, and it's purely commercial. Avoid it at any cost, vegetarian or non-vegetarian. That's my recommendation. If your health is dear and important to you. If not, you can eat any garbage.
Mm. And so many people do. We look at children for a moment. I recall as a child being basically forced to eat meat. I hated it. I fed it to the dogs under the table. And I was chastised very often for wasting that delicious meat. And I thought there was really something wrong with me, but I hated it. I would cut into it. I would see things in there that just sinews and sometimes veins and all of it. I said, I don't want this. This is disgusting to me. And I went through part of my adult life until I became enlightened enough to realize that this is natural. I see that children in general don't crave meat. They learn to eat meat. They don't ask for it or desire it. Do you agree with that?
I don't know. I have not my own children. I heard sometimes some children seem to like meat. For maybe a majority, it's unnatural. If we consider the aspect of reincarnation and karma, some might have developed a great taste for meat in a previous life and will certainly carry on. For some, it's more natural and they're kind of forced. I think you find all. But being in a country where still, unfortunately, a majority eats meat, for some people, it's just natural, and then children imbibe that same quality.
Well, they see it in the family, right?
Yeah, but however, it's astonishing how more and more people, because children become a bit more independent nowadays than maybe in the 60s or before, that is an increasing amount of young people just don't have any taste for meat, which gives hope.
And vegetarianism, or abstention from eating meat, is on the rise, at least in Western Europe, for example. We see in North America, there's a lot of awareness of this, more than ever before, it seems. One thing troubles a lot of people. They say, well, my religion never told me there was anything wrong with eating meat. And they'll quote the Bible and say, I have put the animals here to serve you and put you above them. And, you go to the Roman Catholic Church, some places I know, on Good Friday, and everybody goes in there to eat the fish. And you can go and have a meatball and spaghetti dinner on in the evening with some churches. The Christian churches don't seem to be aware of this, and they claim that we, the rest of us, are all wrong. What do you think about that?
I think one can never hide behind a statement by religion. Most of these statements were done according to time, place, and circumstance. Maybe there are also sort of motivations behind it when one looks at the history of how the Roman Catholic Church developed with the political issue of the Roman Empire. I would personally leave that aside. Just turn to your own inner consciousness. Try to understand what it means when you take meat. An animal had to suffer. Whether that can be justified by any religion or any god, I would doubt it very much. And this is just like hiding behind a comfortable interpretation of a certain scripture in order to justify your otherwise unjustifiable habit of eating meat.
Well, some serious scholars and researchers claim that, for example, Christianity, if we go back to the pre-Roman days, was a very strictly vegetarian religion, and it got perverted through political manipulation. There's a book which I could recall and even recommend. You know it very well, Goralila, I'm sure. The author is an American devotee by the name, his civil name and author's name is Stephen Rosen. And the title of the book is Vegetarianism in the World Religions. And I hope that book would maybe be available. It's an eye-opener. Because Stephen Rosen goes in there and with all the research he's done, proves, takes the world's major religions, Christianity, Judaism, Islam, and puts very, very strong cases for the fact, in his view, that all of these religions are vegetarian by nature but got perverted along the way. Well, perhaps we have spoiled your appetite for that hamburger tonight. If I may editorialize, as you smile on, Goralila, I say, I hope so. Goralila Dasa, I'm sure you will not have a hamburger or a steak on the table tonight.
If I may say in concluding word, my experience generally is people who are vegetarians are people with heart. However, my experience is also it doesn't mean that someone who's not a vegetarian doesn't have a heart, but maybe could do more in order to develop that as well.
People who eat meat are not bad people, but somewhere along the line, like with so many of us, we something clicks one day and you say, why didn't I see this before? So it's not a question of someone being good or bad. It's a question of reaching that particular stage of development.
Yeah. If someone artificially does it too early without really having realized that meat is not their food, then sooner or later they might go back to it.
Hmm. So it's not a conviction, isn't it? It must be a conviction.
Yes, so I wish everyone bon appetit, but I can actually only from offer it or wish it from the bottom of my heart if it's a vegetarian food prepared and offered with love and devotion that will be helpful not only to your body and mind but also to your soul.